Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Slasher Sisters. I'm Alicia, and today I am your only host because Ryan and I had some technical difficulties. We actually recorded two episodes for you guys because we wanted to give you two episodes just to have an extra one on Halloween or a little bit before Halloween, like on the Thursday or Friday before. But those ended up, the sound was really bad on them. Like there was something messed up with it. It was unusable. So both of the episodes were. So unfortunately, those will not see the light of day. And Ryan did not have time before Monday because now it is Saturday. She did not have time before Monday to come and record with me. So I am doing a little solo episode for you guys for this Monday on the 26th. It's the Monday before Halloween, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys had at least something to listen to. I liked my case for today, so I thought I would just go ahead and share that for you. So this is a true crime case, and it is the case of Shauna Howe, and it's the case that canceled Halloween. Shauna Howe was 11 years old when she was abducted on October 27th of 1992. From Oil City, Pennsylvania. She was a sweet girl, just your average 11-year-old, and she lived with her mom Lucy, her stepdad John, and she had an older brother and a younger sister. They lived on West First Street in Oil City. Her favorite time of the year was Halloween. She loved dressing up, she loved the idea of all the different kinds of costumes, and the fun of going out at night and getting lots of candy. But her parents didn't have the money this year to buy her an extravagant outfit. But she was creative, so this didn't worry her too much. She actually found a gymnast costume from her everyday wardrobe, and she was super excited about it. It was a turquoise and black striped one piece, and she added tights and gloves and was so proud of the costume that she had created, and she couldn't wait to wear it out on Halloween night. But she was also excited because she was going to get to wear it that night on the 27th of October to a Halloween party for her Girl Scout troop. The plan for the 27th was that she was going to go to school, and then from there, she would head to the local nursing home because she was in choir and they were performing for all of the residents there. Then she was supposed to head to a church that was only half a mile from her home, and this was where the Girl Scouts were meeting for their Halloween party. The church was close enough that Shauna could have walked home if she really needed to, but her parents weren't really comfortable with it. And Shauna was also like super terrified of the dark. So her mom decided that she would be picked up from her Halloween party and someone would bring her home, but her mom couldn't do it because she was working. So Lucy told Shauna that she would arrange a ride for her and that she should expect someone to be there. So later that night, Lucy called home around 8 p.m. to check in on everyone. John was at the house with the other two kids and he said that Shauna hadn't made it home yet. Lucy immediately felt this terrible feeling in the pit of her stomach because she realized that she'd completely forgotten to schedule a ride for Shauna. At this point, she knew the party was definitely over because the Girl Scout parties didn't last very long. The latest they had ever gone was like 8:30 p.m. So she started thinking of like what could have happened. Shauna could have been walking home and just hadn't made it back yet, or maybe she went home with a friend since no one had been there to pick her up. So John waited at the house for a little bit to see if Shauna would show up, and around 8:30, she still wasn't there. So he decided he was going to hop in the car and drive towards the church because it was only half a mile away. So he figured he'd see her on the side of the road or something, like that he would pass her on his way there and everything would be fine. It would all just be a mix-up and they would go home and laugh about it later. So he went down the typical route she would have taken and she wasn't there. So he decided to then check the church, but she wasn't waiting outside and the lights were off inside. It was obvious that the party had definitely been over for a while now. He then checked all other routes she would have taken and still didn't find her. He went home hoping that somehow they had just missed each other and Shauna would be there waiting for him, but she wasn't. At around 9:30 p.m. before heading home from work, Lucy decided to try a couple of different options. She called Shauna's biological father, but he said he did not have Shauna there with him. She decided to rush home and figure out what in the world was going on. So she got home sometime around 10 p.m. and decided to call Joey L., which is one of Shauna's very best friends, like the person that she hung out with at all the Girl Scout festivities. Joey L. confirmed that Shauna had been at the party. She said that around 8 p.m. the party ended and they both went outside. That's when Shauna realized there was nobody there to give her a ride, so they both started to walk home. They came to a corner where they both had to part ways, and Shauna seemed nervous because she didn't want to walk home in the dark. So she asked Joey to walk with her, but Joey said it would be a better idea for Shauna to walk back with her to Joey's house, and then Joey's dad could drop her off at her house. But Shauna didn't want to like bother anyone or make a big deal of it, so she decided to just walk on her own. So somewhere in that half of a mile walk home, something happened to Shauna. So as soon as they heard this information, Lucy and John decided to call authorities because they had already looked for her themselves and found nothing. So authorities showed up to the home to get more details, and while they were there, one of them got a call over a walkie-talkie that earlier that night, around the time Shauna would have left the party, there was a report called in of a child abduction from someone that had physically witnessed it happen. So at the time this was reported, there hadn't been any young children reported missing, so they weren't quite sure what to do with this information. But now that they had a missing child, they felt they could start putting together the pieces of this puzzle. So at 8:06 p.m. that night, a man named Dan Payton was walking along First Street and he noticed a little girl in a gymnast outfit. He described it perfectly as to what Shauna was wearing. He noticed her walking down the sidewalk alone, and then he noticed a man on the opposite side of the street walking in the opposite direction. This man was very tall, very skinny. He was smoking a cigarette, wearing a hat and an army jacket. So as he was watching this happen, he then watched the man cross over from the other side of the street to the side of the street that Shauna was on, and he seemed to approach her. Dan Payton then watched this man pick Shauna up and disappear around a corner. And just seconds later, he heard a scream. Dan ran towards the intersection where this was happening to try and see what was going on. But by the time he turned the corner, all he saw was a small red car racing off. He didn't see anybody else, but he knew Shauna more than likely ended up in that vehicle. So at this point, like, people didn't have cell phones, so he had to run around the neighborhood and beg for someone to let him use their phone to call the cops. At this point, it was determined that Shauna was definitely the one that had been abducted. So authorities set up roadblocks on all of the different ways in and out of Oil City. They wanted to make sure they didn't see any red cars or cars with Shauna inside. They also informed police stations within a 100-mile radius of Shauna's disappearance, just in case they saw a small red car. Over 30 officers went out to do grid pattern searches in the area she was last seen. They thoroughly checked the intersection she was taken from. They thoroughly checked around the church, the entire area, and they went door to door asking if anyone had seen or heard anything because it was late at night, so a lot of people would have been home. So to cover all of their bases, they decided to still contact Shauna's biological father just in case this had been some sort of mix-up, but they were able to fully confirm that he did not have Shauna. At this point, they were expecting a ransom phone call. This was what usually happened when there was some sort of abduction, especially child abductions in this time period. But by the next morning, the entire community had been made aware of Shauna's disappearance, and Lucy says she remembers looking out the window, seeing hundreds and hundreds of people gathered in the front yard, and they were all there to search for her daughter. So while searches continued for Shauna, authorities fully canceled Halloween. Halloween was just another opportunity for another child to be snatched. So Shauna's uncle led a pretty large search group that searched a massive area. They pretty much left no stone unturned, and on October 29th, 2 days after Shauna was taken, one of the teams ended up finding something. They decided to search Coulter's Hole, which was an area known for camping and fishing. It was tucked back in the woods, and there was a river running through it. It was also known as a party spot where teenagers could go and drink without, like, anyone knowing. It was very secluded. Someone saw something on the bridge above the river and near the bank of the water. As soon as Shauna's uncle saw what had been found, he knew exactly what it was. It was the turquoise and black striped bodysuit that Shauna had been wearing that night. Authorities were contacted and they immediately rushed to the area to do their own search. They searched the area and found nothing else. They sent the bodysuit off to the lab and what they found was huge. There was evidence left behind from a sexual assault. There was enough for them to create a DNA profile. So they had a full DNA sample of whoever abducted Shauna. On October 30th, the day before Halloween, a man was camping in the same area where they found the bodysuit, and he noticed something near the water. It was a little girl's body face down. it was Shauna, and she was only 500 yards from where her bodysuit had just been found. She was wearing shorts and socks that did not belong to her. Her shirt was on backwards and inside out, and authorities were shocked and confused, and the entire town was devastated. This entire area had not only been searched by authorities, but Shauna's uncle had searched the entire area as well. Shauna's body wasn't the only thing found on October 30th. Her shoes were found placed perfectly on the bridge, and a candy wrapper was nearby. It became very obvious that whoever abducted, sexually assaulted, and killed Shauna was now mocking the police. When the autopsy was done on Shauna's body, the severity of what had happened to her was discovered. She had a shoe print on her cheek as if she had been kicked or her head had been pushed down to the ground by someone. She had been sexually assaulted, and evidence of this was taken from multiple places on her body. Her cause of death was a fall. Shauna had been pushed or kicked or thrown off of this bridge and had fallen 33 feet down to the rocky bank of this river, and she had still been alive and remained alive after the fall for possibly 30 minutes. There was no evidence that said she had been restrained at any point in time. This meant that whoever had kept her for those days she was alive had to have done this without tying her up. The community was terrified. They were fully on board with Halloween being canceled. But pranksters started to spray paint things like "You'll be next" on walls near the elementary school. So children now were not allowed to walk alone anymore. The Rotary Club offered up a $500 reward, hoping that this would bring answers because Oil City had once been a booming town, but now the economy was definitely taking a dip. So all the trades were fizzling out and people needed money. So they thought this would be a huge motivator. But nothing ever came of it. So meanwhile, authorities brought out everything they had. They first started to look into the family because, you know, child abductions are typically done by family members. Stranger abductions are just not as common. So DNA was taken from all the males in the family, including her 12-year-old brother, because they knew DNA would be the one thing that could potentially match and solve this case. None of the family's DNA matched, so they were able to rule them out and move on, but there was a lot of speculation for a while on her uncle. People were suspicious because he had been the one leading the search party that found her bodysuit and location of her body. This man was given absolute hell, even after he was ruled out by DNA. There was still a lot of people that swore up and down that like he had something to do with it. They then went to Shauna's school to see if there were any young boys there that maybe she had run-ins with or maybe she had a crush on or had a crush on her that would have wanted to attack her. But this ended up as another dead end. They then checked every guy that would have been in contact with her, like literally everyone. DNA was taken from all these males and they were covering all their bases, but still no matches. And when I say everyone, I mean they were any Girl Scout member that had a brother or a father, like all of them were tested because she could have possibly run into them at some point. So they kind of went through her last day and Like any guy that was connected to any girl that she would have been in contact with, they checked them. But they still found nothing. So the FBI began to assist in the case because authorities just could not figure out what was going on. They knew it had to be someone local. Someone in this town had to be the one that did this. The FBI came up with a profile of this person. They claimed that the killer was likely a Caucasian male in their 20s, and they likely had a huge shift in behavior after the murder. This person may have quit their job or suddenly gone on vacation or maybe started to drink more. Now, a man named Michael was looked into because he lived close to where Shauna had been taken, and there were a lot of people coming forward saying like he was very odd or he was like a very suspicious man, but by the time that authorities got there to speak to him, they were informed that the day after Shauna's body was found, he left town. So obviously this was concerning to authorities, but they didn't have any probable cause that he was involved, like to link him to the case, other than like people thinking he was a creep. So they attempted to locate him and they couldn't find him for years. During these years that they couldn't find him, they still looked into the case and tried to see if it was anyone else, because technically they didn't have anything pointing that it was him other than that he left town. But like, that is pretty shady. I will give them that. Then the police got a phone call. Someone had heard the description of the person that put Shauna into the car and heard the description of the car itself, and they said it sounded like a man they knew named Ted Walker. This man actually knew Shauna. Shauna and all of her girlfriends would frequent this pizza shop where he worked. He was in his 20s, had a red car, and he was a smoker. So people that knew him did think his behavior toward young girls was odd. He would always try to give them hugs, and it always freaked the young girls out, and they would run from him, and the parents always thought it was like really strange, and his behavior was like super odd. So, I mean, this did seem to fit. They thought they had their guy, but as soon as they got his DNA, they were told it was not a match and they were back to square one. So in 1995, Detective Richard Graham was assigned to Shauna's case, and he brought in help from a man named Robert Ressler. This was the man who basically created the idea of a serial killer. He worked in the behavioral science unit of the FBI, and he's interviewed so many different serial killers, and they had him look into this case. He immediately said that this is more than one person, and this was an idea that no one had really thought about yet, but it made perfect sense. So authorities decided to broaden their scope a little bit, and it didn't take long before they found two people that perfectly fit the description. There were two brothers who had been wreaking havoc all over Oil City for basically the entirety of their life. The O'Brien brothers, Tim and James. They had grown up in Oil City their entire life, and they both had very extensive criminal records, including sexual assaults on adults and kids. In July of 1995, a 22-year-old woman was followed out of a bar in Oil City, and a man came up to her and attempted to shove her into his trunk. She fought back, so his solution was to bounce her head off of the pavement, and in doing so, he accidentally knocked her out, which made it difficult to get her into the car, and he realized he was taking way too long with this abduction. So to avoid being caught, he ended up leaving her and drove off. The woman was able to give a full description of the man that had attacked her, and this ended up being none other than James O'Brien. While he was being charged for this crime, authorities started to wonder if him and his brother could possibly be the two people that abducted and murdered Shauna. But a couple of things didn't add up. Shauna's abductor was tall and skinny, and the O'Brien brothers were the exact opposite of that. So the description already is way off. They didn't have a red car, and authorities saw that they both had been in jail at the time of the crime. So their DNA was never taken. It was never tested because of this, like they just didn't fit the description. But then in 1997, another abduction happened in the town, and this terrified everyone all over again. A 4-year-old girl was abducted while playing outside with her friends by a man dressed in all black. She had been dragged into the woods, and this is where her body was later found. So before someone confessed to this, they obviously thought like, oh my gosh, was this the same person? Because like you would think that. So it didn't take long though for 17-year-old Nicholas Bowen of Oil City to panic and confess to authorities that he had done it. He had been a huge part of the search and was there the entire time. He even spoke to her family afterwards, which is just sick and wrong. They wondered if he was also responsible for Shauna's murder, like I said, but there was a couple of issues with this theory. Because he would have been like very, very young at the time that she was murdered, and they took his DNA anyway though, and it came back as not a match. So again, they were back to square one. Authorities had nothing, and with each year that passed, Halloween was just a reminder that Shauna's killer was still living in the community, around other children, and there could be other potential victims. After canceling Halloween in 1992, they implemented a rule that you could only trick-or-treat before dark. There was just too much risk involved. It took until the early 2000s for any questions to be answered. Detective Graham had been on this case at this point for quite some time and was also working other cases, and he ended up having to question Tim O'Brien. Because Shauna's case was such a high-profile case in the area, most interviews with any male that ended up arrested in Oil City had some sort of questions about Shauna in it. So as soon as Shauna was brought up, Tim's behavior changed. Graham had asked him for a DNA sample, and Tim seemed cooperative, but said he wanted to talk to his lawyer first. But he still seemed very unsettled. So the DNA came back as not a match, but Graham had a feeling he was onto something. that at least Tim knew something. So Graham went back to double check all the previous interviews with both Tim and James O'Brien. He wanted to go through all the documents, everything they had said, just to make sure there was no possible way that they were connected. He found the biggest possible flaw. Authorities had not double checked pretty much anything when it came to James and Tim O'Brien. If they had checked, they would have seen that Tim and James were not in jail at the time of Shonda's murder. They had in fact been arrested, but they were both released on bail at that time. So Graham at this point knew Tim's DNA didn't match, but what about James? So he immediately started the process to have James' DNA tested, and he started to dig into more information about both of the brothers. A witness then popped up. On January 9th of 2002, a former cellmate of Tim O'Brien's came forward and said that during the 9/11 lockdown, Tim had confessed to killing Shauna. This was huge because it was possible that Tim hadn't been the one that sexually assaulted Shauna, but there wasn't really a way to rule out that he hadn't killed her at this point. So by February, James' sample came back and it was a match. James had definitely been the one that sexually assaulted Shauna. So at this point, both men are linked to the case, but Graham still didn't understand why they didn't match the description of the man that was seen putting Shauna in the red car. He started to wonder if maybe there was a third person involved. So after sifting through endless documents, he was sent back to Ted Walker, the guy that works at the pizza shop that gives inappropriate hugs. At the time of the murders, the brothers were living with Ted Walker and Ted had a red car. How did they miss this, right? So Ted did have a red car, but he told authorities that it wasn't working. It was just a project car and it like stayed behind the house. But not a single officer went to check that the car actually didn't run. So there was a huge possibility that the car was definitely in running condition and could have been the one that Shauna was put into. Authorities immediately went and grabbed Ted, and answers started to pour out. Ted claimed that the brothers were staying at his home with him and his young son, and they were all joking around one night about how incompetent Oil City police were, and they wanted to just make a mockery of the police. So they formed this plan. They were going to kidnap a kid on Halloween in front of witnesses to ensure that someone would call authorities, but they weren't going to do anything with the kid. They were just going to hold them for like 10 or 20 minutes, just long enough to watch authorities scramble and fail at their job, and then they were just going to drop the kid back off. And they figured they would never be caught because they like really thought Oil City police were just idiots. So the story fit, but there was still plenty of gaps because how did it go from a joke to all of a sudden Shauna actually being sexually assaulted and murdered? So they took Ted's story and let him go, but then the local fire department ended up getting a call the following day that Ted was seen out back of his house burning what appeared to be a mattress. So on March 14th of 2002, Ted's home was searched top to bottom. They wanted to find as much evidence as they possibly could because as of now, they could only physically link James to the case because of his DNA match. So Ted's face was all over the news while his home was being searched. And this is when Dan Payton, the man that witnessed the abduction that night that Shauna was taken, he called in and said, "Ted is the guy that I saw that night." So now they were fully able to link Ted to this case as well. So at this point, they decided to bring Ted in again, and he changed his story. And something that had been disregarded, but they definitely should have kept into consideration, was that every time they brought Ted in to talk to him, which was a couple of times, or actually more of a handful of times, every single time, like minor details in his story would change. So that automatically should kind of ring a bell that something is off with this guy, or like he knows something more than he's telling. So when they brought him in this time, he said that on the night of the 27th, he went out to the store to go grab a few items. And while he was in the store, he saw his own red car pass by with Tim and James in it. He said they didn't ask to use it, so he was angry and got in his own car and followed them to the intersection where Shauna had been abducted. So he asked the brothers why they were using his car, and they informed him that it was because they decided to bump their plan up. They didn't want to wait till Halloween. They wanted to kidnap a child, and they wanted to do it that night. And that's when Shauna just happened to be walking down the road, and Ted said he walked up to Shauna. He knew she kind of would recognize him from the pizza shop, so he asked her about Girl Scout cookies and then asked her for a hug. which she agreed to, and as soon as they did, he grabbed her and handed her to Tim, who had already pulled the seat forward in the car so that they could easily throw her in, and then they drove off. So he said from there he went home and the brothers showed up shortly after he did. He claimed to have watched them take Shauna up the stairs and then he started to cook dinner for his son because he honestly believed they were just holding her for like 15 minutes and they were going to release her. But then he started to hear screams coming from upstairs. So he went up there to check on everything and the brothers basically told him to mind his own business or his son would be next. At this point, Ted said that he freaked out because now his son was being threatened. So he grabbed his son and left the house for a while and when he came back, the brothers and Shauna were all gone. On March 19th, James was informed that his DNA was a match. And he pretty much denied having any involvement and said there was no way it was an actual match. Authorities took quite a few years to gather the amount of evidence that they needed because they were really worried that their lack of physical evidence would mean that these men might go free. So during this waiting time, Tim was convicted of two sex crimes, one on a 6-year-old girl and one on an 11-year-old boy. He was also diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder and was labeled as a sexually violent offender. Then, finally, on July 3rd, 2004, Tim and James were formally charged with the murder, rape, and kidnap of Shauna Howe, and the following day, Ted was arrested in connection with the crime as well. By the 5th, Ted had taken a deal that required him to testify against Tim and James, and he would be charged with third-degree murder instead of first or second, which meant a lighter sentence. The trial was moved out of county because it was so incredibly high profile. It was decided that Tim, who was 39 at the time, and James, who was 33 at the time, that they would be tried together, but Ted, who was 46, would be tried separately. Ted testified against Tim and James, but again he changed his story, which really messed things up. This time Ted claimed that he had come home and the brothers had already arrived after they abducted Shauna. This meant that he was saying he didn't physically see the men bring Shauna into the house. He said that his son just said that they brought someone in with them. This took away a huge piece of the puzzle and prosecutors were pissed. Tim and James' defense claimed that Ted was actually the one responsible for all of this. James claimed that he had been out that day with a woman named Heather and he brought her home that night and they had sex. He said if Shauna had been on the bed they'd had sex on, there could have been some sort of transfer. But the prosecution immediately shot this down, saying, "No, James, sorry to break it to you, but you're the only person's DNA that was found on Shauna." So at this point, evidence is very strong against James, but there's still a lot working against them when it comes to pinning Tim for the crime as well. The prosecution was mainly relying on the witness statement from the cellmate, but it ended up being proven that this cellmate had manufactured the majority of the story. So Tim basically had nothing else to pin him with the crime. But then, on the 26th of October, the jury ended up finding James and Tim guilty of second and third degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy to commit kidnapping. This made Ted angry because Ted thought that they were getting off super easy. Ted ended up being sentenced 20 to 40 years in prison. These men will never get out. They were given consecutive sentences just in case any laws changed that could possibly affect how long that they're in prison. So that is the case of Shauna Howe, and that is the case that canceled Halloween, the murder that canceled Halloween. So like I said, that's going to be it for today because Ryan's not here, so I only have my one case, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Ryan and I will definitely be right back at it next Monday. If I have time, I will film, or not film, I have YouTube on the brain. If I have time, I will record another podcast episode, maybe just later this week on my own. Again, just to give you guys like two cases or something. But if I'm not able to find the time to do that, I'm sorry. I wish I could put two cases out this week. I really wanted to. But like I said, freaking stupid technical difficulties, so annoying. But I hope that you guys have a wonderful Halloween weekend. I hope you guys follow us on Twitter at Slasher Sisters. Little plug there. Yeah, we'd love for you guys to tweet us like what cases you guys are interested in or if there's any other topics you guys would want us to talk about or like I said, just other cases or weird stuff or something, definitely tweet us because we do check it. I am the worst at tweeting. I'm not a Twitter person. I wish I could be better at it. I'm sorry. But yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Halloween. Be safe. Eat lots of candy. Watch some horror movies if you want. Be cozy. Stay safe and stay healthy. Boo bye. I think that was my send off. And then I'll pretend to be Ryan. So like ghoul out or something. Ghoul out, right? So boo bye. Ghoul out. Okay. Yep. Just me here. I'm just talking to myself now. So okay. Love you guys. Bye. Boo bye. Happy.
Happy Halloween.